well, to Ukraine now, where at least three Russian missiles hit electrical substations around the western city of Lviv, close to the Polish border, late on Tuesday. These were the first Russian missile strikes in western Ukraine in more than a week. Russia's defence ministry is also reporting this morning that it has disabled six railway stations in the country used to supply Ukrainian forces with foreign weapons. And with the latest on the situation in Ukraine, I'm joined by Lindsay Hilsum, who's international editor with Channel 4 News. Lindsay is on the line now from Pokrovsk in the east of Ukraine. Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us. Explain to us where you are and what's happening there.
Good morning, Claire. Pokrovsk is, as you say, in the east, the Donbass. This is the area which the Russians are trying to take over now, using mainly artillery, but also tanks and all the weaponry at their disposal. Now, Pokrovsk is somewhat back from the front line, but we spent some time with some Ukrainian soldiers yesterday. And what they told us was that this is increasingly an artillery war, both sides just pounding each other from quite a long distance. And really, the line's not moving that much. And this is obviously the significant thing, because the Russians had said that they were going to have this major onslaught in the east starting about 2 weeks ago. And okay, there's an onslaught, but we're talking about 2 kilometers here, 1 kilometer there. We're not talking about them sweeping across the country. And that, I think, is largely because the Ukrainians are now getting a regular supply of weaponry, not just the anti-tank weapons, but also artillery, howitzers, from the West, from America and Europe. And they say that this could be the thing which will make a crucial difference in this war.
So what are civilians doing in the midst of all of this?
We saw the governor of Donetsk yesterday, and he said, look, we said to civilians, you really have to leave. You know, this is just too dangerous. But, you know, some people don't have the means to leave. And some people refuse to leave. You have a lot of old people who say, well, you know, they've got nowhere to go. And then you have volunteers who are staying to look after the old people. In the frontline cities like Slavyansk, Kramatorsk, Severodonetsk, a lot of people are just living in bunkers, and this is a pretty terrible life. You know, they're just down there and they're being pounded a lot of the time. I was talking to a guy the other day called Oleksiy, who is from a place called Avdiivka. Avdiivka is very dangerous. 15 people were killed in a strike there yesterday, which was just on a bus stop near a coking plant. But he, Oleksiy, he takes food to the old people and the people who've stayed there all the time. He goes backwards and forwards getting supplies. So there are some incredibly brave people here looking after those who can't leave.
I want to ask you about Mariupol and what you're hearing about the situation there, because the news is that there's been an intensification of the bombardment on the Azovstal steelworks in the city. There are still up to 200 civilians sheltering there. What more, Lindsay, do you know about that?
I think that the conditions those people are in are pretty dreadful. Yesterday, a group of people in buses, and this was negotiated by the Red Cross and the UN, did finally reach Zaporizhia, which is a safe town in Ukrainian hands. And that took them 3 days. And they told of really appalling conditions of people going hungry, of there being dozens of wounded soldiers, because it's a mixture of Ukrainian soldiers and their families and other civilians in the steel plant. And what they suggested was that these people were in a pretty desperate state. And the moment those buses left, then further artillery strikes and airstrikes began on the steel plant. The other thing which I think is really important is that, you know, leaving is not straightforward. There are still people in Mariupol, not necessarily in the steelworks, but who are trying to drive out and in their cars. And they are finding that it's taking them days and days because they have to go through a lot of Russian-controlled territory. And what the Russians have done is they've set up not just checkpoints, but screening camps, what they call filtration camps. And this is where the men are stripped down to their underpants and searched. Everybody's documents are gone through. People's phones are gone through to see if they have had any connection with the Ukrainian military. Do they maybe have a son or an uncle or somebody who's in the Ukrainian army? And then their phones are wiped. And this takes days. And there are apparently thousands of cars backed up at a place called Mangush, which is still in Russian hands, of people waiting to go through this process before they can escape and get into Ukrainian held territory.
And I wonder, are there supports, enough supports now in Zaporizhia? Because I know in the early weeks, speaking to reporters who were there, they said, look, it was just a couple of volunteers who were at one of the hypermarkets there helping with coffee and food and clothing and so on. Are the aid agencies in Zaporizhia to meet these people once they've come out?
The aid agencies are there. I've seen Médecins Sans Frontières, I've seen the UN and so on. But I have to say that the local people are pretty well organised. And it was a local initiative which set up the tent in the middle of that car park at the epicentre, which is the, you know, the DIY store where the people are coming to. And they've been collecting clothes and donations and so on from local people to help look after those who are coming from Mariupol, and not just Mariupol, from other places as well. And there are psychiatrists, there are all sorts of people. And yes, there is support from international agencies, but most of the support is local. And I think that, that's tremendously important. And I think that people are being looked after well when they arrive there.
Now, very far away from where you are, over in Lviv, right over in the west of Ukraine, we're hearing reports that three Russian missiles hit electrical substations around that city. And people are always concerned when they hear about Lviv, because that is the point, isn't it, where people try to cross out of Ukraine and over into the West, and there were railway stations struck as well. I mean, can you give us a sense of how people perceive those types of attacks far over in the west of the country?
Well, I think it's very connected with what's going on in the east of the country, because as I was saying at the beginning, a lot of Western weaponry is coming into the Ukrainian forces who are using it here in the east. How is it getting in? Well, it's got to be coming from the west, hasn't it? It's got to be coming through Poland and other neighboring countries. And so these attacks on railway infrastructure are about trying to attack supply lines and about trying to stop that weaponry from getting here, because the Russians obviously are well aware that this is making a difference and making their job much more difficult. So I think that's why we saw so many cruise missile strikes last night, particularly those on the railway stations, so the railway electrical substations on the railways in the West. And I think that, you know, there's a great concern that we're going to see more of that, because I think that from a Russian point of view is one of the critical things that they need to do now.
Lindsay, thank you as always for your time. Lindsay Hilsum, their international editor with Channel 4 News in the city of Pokrovsk in the east of Ukraine.
Thank you, Claire.
Well, the European Commission president has announced that the European Union countries will stop importing Russian oil and refined products by the end of this year. Ursula von der Leyen made the announcement to the European Parliament while outlining a sixth round of sanctions against Russia for waging war on Ukraine. Shona Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews, is on the line now. Shona, thank you for joining us this morning. So we'll have the phasing out of the Russian supply of crude oil within 6 months, refined products by the end of the year. How is this going to work? Because as we know, and we've been hearing over the last number of weeks and months, some member states are very dependent, aren't they, on Russian oil?
Yes, depending on which country. But if you look at Germany, for example, which had about a 35% dependence on Russian oil for its oil, it's reduced already to about 12%. So there has been strong manoeuvres over the past few weeks to diversify suppliers of oil going to the Middle East, North Africa. And, you know, the feeling is that it's easier to do this with oil because you can move it more freely. But there are countries that will be getting special dispensations, Hungary and Slovakia. I heard last night that they will be offered an extra 6 months or so, but I'm hearing this morning that it could be as much as the end of next year that Hungary would have to phase out its oil. All of this is being discussed right now by the member states, EU ambassadors. So the proposals came from the Commission this morning and the member states are sort of working them out. But I mean, I've been speaking to many MEPs from various different sides of politics who are all a bit annoyed that Hungary would get such a strong dispensation. But of course, this has to be done unanimously. So the only way maybe Viktor Orban would support it is if he got such a generous way of working out the phasing of oil. But I think it's an important moment nonetheless, given that, you know, 2 months ago, everybody said this was impossible. And now they're discussing the seventh sanctions round, which inevitably will be gas. And there's also other things on the sanction. Three Russian state TV channels, possibly Russia One, which is the one that was threatening Ireland and the UK.
So we have Hungary and Slovakia getting special dispensations. Are there any other of the 27 member states who might object?
Yeah, that's an important question. We don't know that yet. We know that what was offered was for those two countries, but you could find others far behind, not too far behind, saying that their economies too rely on Russian oil exclusively, almost smaller countries. But then you have to think about the sort of pressure that would come on those countries too. I mean, you look at Poland and Bulgaria, who had their gas cut off just last week. They're willing to take that hit. And then the other point being that when you look at the atrocities that we just spoke about there taking place in Ukraine, you know, no country can really be willing to be on the wrong side of history and start continuing willingly purchasing Russian oil and gas. The EU has given 52 billion euros to Russia in oil and gas. About half of that is oil, actually, since the war began. And that obviously is unsustainable completely morally.
Okay. There's a proposal as well for a recovery package for Ukraine to rebuild, which will be an extraordinary thing. We were talking to an economist who advises President Zelensky on the programme, and he was saying in the last couple of weeks that he wants the rebuilding to start now. Have we any more details on that package, what the extent of it will be?
Well, they're talking about 5 billion euro a month to just pay the wages of the soldiers, of people in the public sector. And then that's just the day-to-day sort of deficits of the government, because obviously so many people have now moved into the public sector. There's so many more soldiers now. The reconstruction is another piece. So the EU is talking about teaming up with the US to start that reconstruction. And there's also a discussion around putting tariffs on the importation of the oil and gas that comes from Russia, so that money that comes from that could be paid for the reconstruction as well. But it's very much an important issue. And it's also about rebuilding the Ukrainian economy, which is going to drop by about 30% in GDP in the coming weeks. The EU has announced the ending of tariffs and quotas for importation of Ukrainian goods. So I think that's kind of work in progress.
Shona Murray, thank you for joining us. Shona Murray there from Euronews. Coming up next, the free travel pass and your data. We'll have a breaking news story on that after this.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.